Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Ja'Kari Jackson. This is what we have in store for you on this Tuesday, November 27th, 2012 edition.
Tonight, a new payment system allows you to pay your Discover card with your fingerprint. Then, experts study whether robots will exterminate humanity. All that and more coming up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
And welcome back. Top story headline. Treasury borrowed $211 per household day after Thanksgiving. They caught you with your pants down again, and they gave it to you rough and steady. The U.S. Treasury increased the net debt of the United States a very large number on the day after Thanksgiving, which equals approximately $211.69 per household of the nation's over 114 million households. So it's another one of those things. They wait till you're distracted. They wait till you're in a turkey coma, or Obama, when he wants to sign the NDAA. He waits when you're out drinking with your friends and your family on New Year's Eve to do these things. So, I mean, they got me too. I just now found out about this myself. So it wasn't just you, but hold your people accountable for such heinous things as this. I mean, $211 per household. I mean, seriously. I mean, come on. Next story. Discover testing fingerprint payments. Now, I give Discover credit. At least they tested this on their own people. Let's take a look. Discover employees who want to participate can register at an on-site kiosk, which will read an index finger and assign a number to it. Each employee will receive a key fob with a chip that includes information about their individual credit card account as well as their fingerprint. So it's just more of the big brother watching you. Now, hey, if you want to do the finger scanning thing, hey, that's your business. If you don't mind them tracking your biometrics and things such as that, that's fine. My deal is when you try to force this on other people and you say, hey, they're just testing out, it's going to get to that point. Just like with the students in San Antonio, they were, you know, at first, it's not a big deal. We're not going to force it on you. Now they're saying, oh, you're going to get kicked out of school if you don't wear this dog tag with your information that can be easily hacked. I mean, I bet kids in that school could hack it. I mean, it's completely ridiculous stuff. Oh, there it is right there. So there you see the letter he got her expelled, Miss Hernandez, down there in San Antonio. So hey, just keep thinking it's not coming to you. Just think it's for those who want it, because it's not always going to be. We'll move on to our next story. Black Friday gun sales hit new record high. Now, I remember watching the InfoWars Nightly News last year, and Alex Jones was talking about how gun sales hit record highs on Black Friday, but we've done it again. Let's take a look. Fueled by fears that the Obama administration will go after gun rights during a lame duck term, the FBI reported over 150,000 background check requests on Friday, a 20% increase on last year's record total of 120,000 checks. Now, this actually ties into an article that Kurt Nemo did a few days ago. FBRC chairman dubs 22 caliber rifles terrorist weapons. They're saying a 22 caliber rifle is a terrorist weapon. The people who have drones and walking tanks and all these kinds of deals. I mean, keep in mind, these aren't called herbivore drones. They're called predator drones. They're out to kill people, but they're saying, hey, yeah, if you have a 22 caliber rifle and you get 200 yards away, you could possibly take out a power grid. Oh man, I mean, come on, a 22 caliber bullet. I know not everybody's real gun savvy. I wish I actually had a 22 caliber bullet to show you. I mean, yeah, you could kill anybody with any bullet if you shoot them in the head or shoot them in the right spot. But still, they're saying you're going to take down a power grid with a 22 caliber rifle. Meanwhile, the government's arming itself to the teeth. Which, what's it, 40 or 45 caliber? They got, what, 5 bullets for every man, woman, and child in the U.S.? But if you have a 22, hey, you're a terrorist. So, there you go. Next story. Why parents with disabilities are losing custody of their children. It was sickening that they assumed because we were blind, we can't take care of her, said a family. This is a family story. And we'll go on here. 2/3 of state child welfare laws list some type of disability as grounds for removing a child from his home and allowing parental rights to be terminated. So there you go. They're saying, hey, you can't take care of your own kids. The state knows best if you have a disability, if you're sick, if you're blind. I mean, I think it's very ridiculous to say that a blind person cannot care for their own children when you keep in mind most parents don't watch their kids anyway. I mean, the mama's at the casino and daddy's at the strip club and a little 12-year-old is raising the other two little kids. I mean, parents don't watch their kids anyway, so I'd rather have a blind parent in my home than a parent with two good eyes out somewhere else, not doing what they're supposed to do. They're too busy watching. I don't even know what shows are on anymore. Watching TV, watching SportsCenter. Nothing wrong with watching SportsCenter, but watch your kids too. And actually, I blew through that pretty quick. That's amazing. But that brings us now to our quote of the day. This one by Justice Scalia. There is nothing new in the realization that the Constitution sometimes insulates the criminality of a few in order to protect the privacy of all of us. That by Justice Scalia. And that's it for this segment of the InfoWars Nightly News. Now we're going to go to a piece that Alex Jones did earlier today on the radio show. He had a chance to speak to John McAfee, you know, of McAfee Computer Antivirus Software. He had a chance to, state his claim on the Alex Jones radio show. So we'll throw it to that. But after that, stay tuned. We'll be back with two additional segments. We'll have a segment where I break down the use of autonomous drones and other killing robots. And also my interview with Climate Depot's Mark Moreno. So let's go to that piece from Alex right now.
And he's offering a huge reward to find out who really killed the person in Belize that they're saying he's the main suspect in. And, of course, he's the inventor of one of the most well-known antivirus software, John McAfee. And he worked for Lockheed until 87, then ventured into the antivirus business as one of the first people to understand that that was a obvious problem out there with the viruses. And he joins us now.
Well, thank you, Alex. I'm really happy to be here. This breaks my boredom tremendously. I've been living in a very constrained environment for a while, so this is quite a thrill for me. Okay, where did it start? It started the last day of April of this year when at 6 in the morning I was woken up to the sound of bullhorns, dogs barking, and gunfire, and got out of bed, stark raving naked, went out on my porch and saw 42 armed soldiers with automatic weapons in full riot gear storming my property. When I heard the commotion, I picked up a handgun, which I keep for protection. I put the handgun down on the step, went back inside, put my pants on, woke up my girlfriend. She got up calmly, got dressed, sat on the edge of the bed. I went outside, was grabbed by a bunch of people, slammed up against the wall, and told that they were there with a search warrant for an illegal meth lab, meth meaning methamphetamines. I was handcuffed, held in the sun for 14 hours without food and water. Well, at one point, I did ask for some water and some food for the people who were arrested with me. The soldier standing nearby said, do I look like a chef to you? Indeed, he did not look like a chef, so it was my mistake. In any case, they hauled me off to the Belize City Jail. I spent 6 hours sleeping on a concrete floor and was finally released with no charges being filed. The following day, I asked for publicly an apology from the Prime Minister, who privately responded, who does he think he is, to his close confidants. That was the beginning of my story. Since that time, I've had nothing but harassment from the authorities here. They've attempted to charge me with a variety of charges. The very first was running an antibiotics laboratory without a license. That didn't go very far because what I was working on was actually a topical antiseptic, not an antibiotic, which we take systemically.
And by the way, before this interview, I did some more research on you. They've had national TV shows here in the U.S. about the little laboratory you've got that's discovering things in the rainforest and patenting plant derivatives and things. So you're an entrepreneur down there, well respected, because I did a lot of research before we did this interview, and it really does look like they're targeting you. Why do you think they began to come after you?
I have not played by the rules. The rules in Belize are if you're a rich foreigner, you have to pay your dues, and you pay them to the higher-ups in the government, the high officials. I've donated about $7 million worth of gear to every aspect of the Belizean economy, the Belizean police force, to schools, to charity organizations, you name it. But my donations rather than giving the money to the government and letting them dole it out, where 90% of it goes to the families of the officials. I donate directly. For example, I bought boots for the entire Orange Walk Police Department. I got their sizes first, bought them, and requested an inventory of who they went to. Now, there's no way for the government to skim anything from that. I built a police station for the village of Carmelita, a very nice police station.
So there you go. I mean, you're a successful...
They did not like that because I should have given the government the money and let the government build the police station. So I'm not playing by the rules. I refuse to donate to either political party. The current party sent, just prior to the last election, just a few months before I was raided, by the way, an envoy demanding a large sum of money in exchange for which I would be treated very nicely. I ordered them off of my property. That was a serious mistake, foolishness. You can attribute it to my advancing age. But that was the beginning of my trouble.
Amazing. So you're a well-known inventor, well-known businessman, started all sorts of tourist businesses, tours, you name it, all over the islands, and you were not being shaken down, kind of like our founding fathers didn't want it to be shaken down. And so they've started trying to set you up, and now there was a murder, and it's convenient, and they want to basically send you down the river. I mean, is that a fair assumption of what your side of the story is?
I would say it's exactly my side of the story. And basically, they're opportunists. Somebody's murdered right next door to me. Well, not right next door, but, you know, a few hundred yards down the beach. Perfect. Let's grab the bastard.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I mean, most people know the story. It's been one of the biggest stories the last few weeks. And here you are. You've been communicating via text and things. Now you're on the air. Obviously, national media is going to be tuning into this. A, what do you want to say to the national media? B, what do you want to say to the Belizean authorities? If you can call the CD operators that, what would you like to say to them as well? And then where do you want to see all this go?
Okay, well, first of all, what I'd like to say to the national media is, number one, I'd like to make an apology to Jeff Wise, the intrepid reporter who has been bulldogging my ass for 2.5 years now for unknown reasons. In an effort to understand his animosity, I confused him with yet another reporter that reported on my flying activities in New Mexico. During that time, I did probably 20 magazine interviews. I publicly stated that Jeff had acted improperly to one of the women. Unfortunately, when I was going to actually post the picture. When I got the picture, it was a different reporter.
Okay, so you're correcting that. That's good.
It was horrifying. I mean, go ahead, sir.
No. So you're correcting that now.
I'm correcting that now. My apology. To the rest of the media, I would say get a life. Let's do some real reporting. Everything in the national media is basically regurgitating what somebody else has said. So we're not getting the news third hand. We're getting it 50th hand. So get a life, get a job, a real job. To the Belizean authorities, please take a look in the mirror. As to where this is heading, sir, I have no clue. I'm flying this by the seat of my pants and taking this a moment at a time.
Now, what's the best website for people to visit to find your side of the story in text and also find out about the reward?
The best website is whoismcafee.com. It's my blog. Also, we have an official Twitter site. It's just called Official McAfee. I very strongly would advise people to go to to my blog site, whoismcafee.com, to get my side of the events. And also, three of my best friends have also been arrested on my behalf, unfortunately. This is the way they do it here in Belize. If they can't grab you, they grab your friends, your wife, if they can grab them, your children, and arrest them. They have been arrested and are being held in prison unjustly. On my website are all the email addresses that you can write to please, please demand their release. They have nothing whatsoever to do with anything.
Well, again, sir, I want to believe you. You sound legitimate to me. I already knew who you were. I did some research. I also, again, have been to Belize many times since I was a child, and my father's been down there even more to scuba dive with my mother, and he researched the area and talked to friends that lived down there over the years who left, saying that even if you don't have a lot of money, Now, the government tries to shake you down. The people overall are pretty good folks, but it is a famous, you know, kind of pirate cove, archipelago of islands down there. And so that's why I tend to lean towards believing what you're saying, knowing what I know about the so-called Belizean government that might as well have the Jolly Roger as their official symbol. Any other points you'd like to make on that front? And, I mean, obviously you don't want to get into how you're evading specifically, but first tell us about the reward.
Okay, I've offered a $25,000 police reward for any information leading to the arrest and conviction of the real killer, Mr. Fall. That's obviously in my interest. I'm not doing it out of altruism. I don't quite believe in altruism, but I'm a man of my word. If someone provides information which does get the real killer, you will get the money. That's your first question about the Jolly Roger. Keep in mind, Belize was founded as a pirate colony.
That's why I said that, yeah.
And for 200 years, it had no flag other than the Jolly Roger. The British, when they took it over, didn't really take it over as a country. They were actually helping the pirates because the pirates attacked the Spanish galleons coming from South America that had to go right by the reef outside. And so they were, the Belize was a benefit to the British and continued to be a benefit up until the 1950s. And that's when England abandoned it. As with many colonies that England has abandoned, self-governance is not as easy as it first appears.
No kidding. Continuing here, I could ask so many questions, and I will, but what else do you, I mean, obviously you're now just not writing on your blog. You've reached out to Infowars.com. To speak to folks, why did you reach out to us?
I'll be really frank with you, sir. My advisor suggested it. This is the very first time I've had contact with you, so not because of disinterest, but because the bandwidth here in this country does not support podcasts.
No, I understand. Okay, I just knew that you'd reached out to us.
I'm surprised you have not asked about drug use, the famous blue light hoax that occurred earlier in the year. The intimidations that I am on a substance called MDPV. You've asked some very soft questions so far, sir. I would suggest moving to hardball.
It's not that. It's just that we've seen all the demonization in the media, and so I always go with the little guy because it's better that 10 guilty men go free than one innocent man go to jail. So I kind of take the defense attorney position in life because I grew up seeing the system posing as good guys, generally being the bad guys. Now maybe my life experiences skewed me towards always being for the underdog. I just wanted to, since you contacted us, I wanted to give you a chance to, you know, to basically lay out all your points before we got into any, you know, hardball questions, as you call them.
All right. I think my points have been laid out, and I have appreciated that opportunity, sir. So,
well, okay, let's get into standard. Let's get into standard media questions then. Where are you right now? How are you hiding now? How dare you kill that man? I mean, if you want those type of questions, you know you did it, McAvey. Just turn yourself in; it'll go easier on you. Come out with your hands up. Sure. No. Seriously, how are you evading these guys so successfully?
Okay. Number one, I did not kill Mr. Fall. That's the most absurd allegation of my entire life. Number two, I really cannot say anything about where I am, how I've evaded detection, what I look like, or anything else. I apologize for being evasive, but by saying something on a show of your size, I know for a fact the Belizean authorities are listening as we speak. So please forgive me for
And listen, I was playing devil's advocate. I mean, obviously you are a innocent man until proven guilty, and I don't think you would do this. I don't think you'd go down the beach and, you know, kill somebody, you know, when you have so much to lose. And I don't trust the Belizean authorities. But obviously people are wondering, well, you told me off air, you just said somebody of, quote, your age who's been around certainly knows how to hide out. And I guess your point is, you know, that you're streetwise.
I am streetwise. The first half of my life was spent sort of on the streets, so... 33 or 34 years ago, my life changed radically, hopefully for the better. When I stopped using drugs, I stopped drinking alcohol. I have not had a sip of wine, beer, or anything else in over 30 years, neither have I taken drugs in that period of time. I will be honest, I have started smoking cigarettes again, which some people call a drug, and I will fess up to that.
Why do you think they're claiming in the media?
Yes, sir.
Sure.
And I also also drink coffee, which contains caffeine, which if you have four or five espressos, is a pretty speedy hit. But beyond that, that's the extent of my drug use.
What would you like to see, best case scenario, them start a real investigation instead of just saying you did it?
Well, I would love a real investigation. However, it's not in the government's interest. If the real murderer is found, then suddenly this whole opportunity to remove McAfee as a major thorn in the government's side simply disappears.
Now, again, you've had national media in your lab. You were, I've seen the newscast. You're very proud of what you developed. You've told the press that you believe it's when you came up with this tropical antiseptic that they wanted, or a topical antiseptic that they came after you.
Well, at that point, obviously, had I continued and been successful, it would have been, you know, a multi-billion dollar company, and the government would want their dues. However, it became also clear that I am not a game player, not by the game that's played here, and that just pissed everybody off. It's just not the way the system works. The government allows you to do something, and in exchange, you have to pay up. I don't mind doing that if you want to do it in the form of taxes and tax everyone. I don't care how unjustly or how skewed it may be, but for someone to come and say, here, give me $5 million. That doesn't cut it.
After you leave us in 5 minutes, you'll undoubtedly wish you would have said something. Let's say that now. What do you most importantly want to transmit to the Belizean authorities in their little greasy, tight-fitting police uniforms? I mean, I've seen the Belizean police. They look like something directly out of central casting of third-world seedy people, but I'm not trying to be mean, but it is a fact. What would you like to say to them? I'm sure. But you know what? Maybe just because they're bad, I'm thinking you're good. I mean, how do we know?
No, and I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't even say they're bad, sir. I think, by and large, the Belizean police are decent people. They get paid the equivalent of less than a dollar an hour. And they're expected to do work that puts their life in danger. It isn't the police itself. It's the bureaucracy that supports them and controls them. It's the higher-ups that use the police for their own interests, to usher their drug deals and protect their own interests rather than protect the public.
So you don't think there's any narcotics?
I think that I am bashing the Belizean police as a people. I'm bashing the higher-ups in the government for their outrageous selfishness and greed.
Are you related to Rob Zombie?
Am I what?
Rob Zombie, the rock and roll star. You look a lot like him, or he looks like you. You're not really
I don't think I'm related, but then, much in my family background I don't know about, so who knows?
You're not really his father, are you?
God, I hope not.
Just joking. I'm going to stop right now a little. Well, listen, it's really interesting talking to you. What do you do you know about the New World Order, the global government, the NSA spying on people, the cancer viruses and the vaccines? Ever heard about that?
Of course. Well, there is a New World Order. We all know that. But I think that I would point my finger first at the global press, not yourself, sir. I'm talking about the classical press that is interested in making money and making it as quickly as possible and making it through sensationalism and perversion of the facts. I think that we first get our ideas from what we see on television and what we read in the press. Do you think that we could have convinced the world that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq if we had not first had the press convince us?
Insider billionaire investors like George Soros and John Paulson have recently made massive moves into gold, purchasing what Bloomberg News described as gold hoards. Soros alone doubled his holdings in a single day. Russia's Vladimir Putin has doubled down on gold, increasing the country's holdings by over 100%. With $1.8 trillion under management, the bond king, Bill Gross, the world's preeminent bond fund manager at PIMCO, has warned investors of the dangers of QE3 and inflation. And what's he betting on? You guessed it, gold. Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
And welcome back. Now, in this segment, I have a special report for you about technologies, particularly when it comes to autonomous robots. Now, people accuse of us of, a lot of things here at InfoWars, speaking about technology. They say, oh, you're scared of technology and technological advances. And that isn't it at all. I think technology is a great thing, but it can be used for very diabolical reasons, such as when we speak of drones. I think drones are great things for fighting forest fires and search and rescue missions, but when you arm drones up and send them into neighborhoods, whether it be foreign or domestic, you know, it's bound for some mishaps, or, you know, so they claim, oh, it's an accident that they accidentally knocked down that apartment building full of 100 people to kill one guy. Or when you have things like cell phones. Cell phones are great, but when they can hack into your phone, well, I guess they don't really hack into it because the stuff's already built into your phone, but when they can listen into your conversations, they admit they're listening into your conversations, those are the kind of things that we're talking about when we're talking about technological advances that aren't exactly the best. Now, with that said, let's get into the article's headline. Experts to study whether robots will exterminate humanity. University of Cambridge will conduct research into extinction-level risk posed to humanity by artificial intelligent robots. The scientists said that to dismiss concerns of a potential robot uprising would be dangerous, reports BBC. The U.S. military under DARPA is already developing robots for the express purpose of killing people and is largely overlooked by futurists. Policy Directive 3000.9 states, semi-autonomous weapon systems that are onboard or integrated into unmanned platforms do not autonomously select and engage individual targets or specific target groups that have not been previously selected by an authorized human operator. Now, speaking of, let me roll back first. Now, when we talk about extinction, now, I'm not saying that I'm afraid of an extinction scenario. Other people are, and that's their business. My deal is more of control of these things and understanding where they're coming from so we don't have these unmanned drones flying around and things such as that. So I'm not pressing the extinction issue. But anyway, back to what the article says. It says, authorized human operator. Now, we have an article, if we could pull it up, talking about your authorized operators as these drone pilots, people suffering from PTSD. Troops who fly drones are getting stressed just like other people, troops on the ground, if we could scroll down there a little bit, guys. So you see your drone pilots are experiencing fatigue, battle fatigue, if we can zoom in a little bit so people can see the article there. So these are your authorized people, they're saying, that are flying these drones. And also, never forget that these things are unmanned, but it also says in the policy directive 3000.9 that these things are previously selecting their targets. So to me, they kind of shot themselves in the foot by saying that, because they basically admit right there, clear as day, that if you get killed by one of these autonomous robots, you are supposed to be killed. So, I mean, it's right there. There aren't any accidental killings. If you got killed, then you were supposed to, even if you were a supposed innocent bystander, I guess they have a certain level of people there. They're authorized to kill. So just keep that in mind as we go further to our next story. Cambridge University Center will study technologies that pose extinction level risk to humanity. Once again, I'm not pressing the extinction level scenario, but it is something that's very real and you should be aware of. a philosopher, a scientist, and a software engineer have come together for the purpose of a new center at Cambridge to announce developments in human technologies that might pose extinction-level risks to our species from biotechnology and artificial intelligence. Now, this is a throwback to the future, to the flashback, why the future doesn't need us. So, as I keep stressing, I'm not saying extinction is going to happen via these machines, but there are people that are concerned about this, so I think it's something that's worth taking into advisement. We'll move on to our next one. Countdown to Judgment Day, this article by our very own Melissa Melton. Human Rights Watch has released a 50-page report this week aimed at governments titled Losing Humanity, a great graphic there by Darren McBream, The Case Against Killer Robots. In it, the human rights organization calls for a ban on any future fully autonomous weaponized killing machines. China has revealed a massive surveillance camera network dubbed Skynet, which you guys, I'm sure, are familiar with that name from The Terminator. DARPA has been referred to as the real Skynet because the agency seeks to obtain similar autonomous super technologies as depicted in those movies, be it Terminator or whatever else. And also goes on to speak about Ray Kurzweil, a long predicted such a future, one where humankind, as we know it, will cease to exist by the year 2045. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Ray Kurzweil, he is I guess you call him a futurist, as they speak here in this article. And we actually have a site if we could throw that up. The people on this site, I really wish I would have captured one of this video so I can show it to you guys. The people on this site admit that they want to merge with machines. I am not making that up. That is not hearsay. Like I said, I wish I would have captured a video, but I didn't. But go on here. You can listen to these people themselves say they want to merge with machines. And I'm not talking about pacemakers and artificial limbs for soldiers and stuff like that. I mean, these people want to become full-on cyborg, Iron Man-type men running around. And it's their own plan. So go to that site. You can see all these guys, I'm sure, very well accredited doctors and such. So go there and find out what they have going on. And we'll move on to our next one. Pentagon: a human will always decide when a robot kills you. There it is, right there. So just like I pointed out in the early article, they're saying that nobody's going to die, even if these are autonomous robots. They've been pre-programmed to target various people, individuals, and I guess they have an acceptable rate of loss, because definitely civilians and innocent bystanders do get killed, as we pointed out. A Pakistani minister said about 80% of the people killed in Pakistan from drone strikes were innocent civilians. So, I mean, it's a completely ridiculous thing. Definitely be aware that all these things are going up. And actually, you guys could pull up that last article so we can show our viewers here. The Pentagon doesn't trust its own robots. So we look at this one, if we scroll down. The Pentagon doesn't trust its own robots. There it is, right there, Wired Magazine. But we have another one that's also this article I have on my desk from Wired Magazine. The Pentagon: a human will always decide when a robot kills you. So there you go. There's your breakdown of all the things that are going on, these dirty deeds with these autonomous drones and other killing machines. They have ground robots, they have pretty much walking tanks. I've detailed all this stuff. If these things aren't anywhere else, I know you guys can find in my videos, the Judge Dredd review and also the Black Ops 2 review, I talk about drones, I talk about walking tanks. So definitely go check that out, because this stuff is real, it's coming. And also in the InfoWars magazine right there, this is our old edition. We're about to have the new one come out, but definitely check this out. I think if you order right now, you can get this. If you get the year pack, the 12 issues, I believe this is included as long as supplies last. So definitely pick up this as well as many other things. Now, that brings us to the end of this. And also, I want you guys to check out hashtag Drone Mob. And that's where we're going to be flying drones. We went out and bought some drones. You can see it right there. Hashtag Drone Mob. Follow us on Twitter. We went out and bought some drones, and we're going to meet pretty soon. We haven't set a firm date, but we'll get on that very soon. We're going to go out to a local park here in Austin and fly drones. So if you have a drone, if you have a spy plane, whatever you have, bring it out there. And we're basically saying, hey, big brother, if you can fly drones on us, we will fly drones on you. So there you go, a very informative piece speaking about the dangers of drones that you can give to your friends and family. Tell them to check out this video. A lot of great, cool, distracting graphics that I had to fight against to stay on task. But anyway, we're going to go to break, and we'll come right back with my interview with the new godfather of climate denial, Mark Moreno, speaking about all things climate.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
And welcome back. Our guest tonight is Mark Moreno. He is executive editor and chief correspondent for ClimateDepot.com, and he was recently dubbed the godfather of climate deniers. Definitely want to talk to him about that. He joins us now via Skype. Thanks for joining us, Mark.
Hey, thank you. Happy to be here.
All right. Now, Mark, you sent us this article by, I guess it's a blogger, Tom Nelson, and the headline is, UN climate hoax chief talks openly about bad weather preventing. Now, what is that all about?
Well, what's happening right now, there's a UN conference going on in Qatar in the Middle East. And what they're doing is they're actually trying to promote things like carbon taxes, climate treaties, and regulations in order to prevent bad weather. And this is something now we have Mayor Bloomberg in New York City doing this. We have President Obama, who actually said Americans can do something about floods, droughts, tornadoes, hurricanes at the ballot box by voting for him. We've reached an age, I like to say it's a primitive age, very similar to medieval witchcraft, where people think we can control the weather through acts of government. In the case of the medieval witchcraft, they thought you could burn witches at the stake after you had bad crops or crop failure or unseasonable weather or bad storms. I don't know that we've advanced scientifically since the witch burnings. And now to have the United Nations climate chief come out and talk about openly about how we can prevent bad weather from happening through taxes and regulations, this is a whole new low of global warming activists. And it's the same. The UN climate chief, Christina Figueres, if I'm saying her name correctly, is seeking, and this is an exact quote, a quote, centralized transformation that is going to make life for everyone on the planet very different. And she goes on and talks about a centralized policy perspective that's going to transform our way of life. And they've openly called for global governance. They've openly called for global carbon taxes. This, make no mistake about it, that's what the United Nations conference is about. It's not about science. It's not about global warming. It's about centralizing their power. And now the difference is, in 2012, they're talking more and more openly about it. Al Gore in 2009 said the climate bill in the United States was the first step toward global governance. And so this is it's a continuation of that. They're now openly admitting their goals.
Okay, now you talked about many things that I wanted to talk to you about. Let's start with carbon. Now, as far as this climate change, global warming, whatever they want to call it, I believe they switched from calling it just simply global warming to climate change because we've seen the planet get hotter and colder at various points in time. But as far as carbon, as far as their side, the Al Gore side, what role does carbon play as far as climate change?
Well, that's a very good question. Here's the bottom line. There are literally hundreds of factors that influence global temperature. Everything from tilt of the Earth's axis to ocean cycles to water vapor to methane to solar system, clouds, the sun, volcanic emissions. carbon dioxide. And what happens is that somehow in the late 1980s, there was a concerted effort when the United Nations formed this panel to try to blame carbon dioxide, not just as a one of the hundreds of factors that contribute to climate change and to the global temperature, but as the driver, the tail that wags the dog, if you will. And there's no science that can support that contention. And what's happened since then is they've come out, and we've had 16 years of no warming, according to the latest data. That's one point. Secondly, they tried to claim modern temperatures were unprecedented. Well, now we have multiple peer-reviewed papers showing the medieval warm period was warmer than today without benefit of our coal plants, of our SUVs, of our modern way of life. So nothing unprecedented has happened. Carbon dioxide may be a player in climate, but it's probably a minor player, and you can't distinguish the effects from natural variability. That's what the science is showing, and that's what the science is showing across the board, whether you're talking about sea level, Mount Kilimanjaro, polar bears, global temperatures, even the Arctic ice, which is their poster child. You know, NASA admitted that was a huge cyclone storm that broke up the ice this year, and it actually had recovered somewhat from its lower point in 2007. And we're also showing the Arctic ice was as lower at different points during the 20th century. Meanwhile, the South Pole, the Antarctic, has been growing. So if you look around the globe, nothing alarming is going on, but they'll come out and tell you it's worse than we thought. And they say that because as there's nothing alarming going on, they ramp up scarier and scarier predictions of 50 to 100 years from now. And then they say it's worse than we thought because our predictions are scarier than we thought earlier. And so it's a silly game they play, but the bottom line is we have major scientists reversing themselves. People like James Lovelock, who was a huge global warming alarmist, said there would only be a few breeding couples left in the Arctic in 2007. Fast forward to 2012, he's now saying they don't have the physics worked out. This has become a religion. Al Gore is wrong. So they're losing major scientists on their side.
Exactly. Now, we just had an article up on the screen. Now, I don't know about global, you know, climate change all around the world. I can just speak for what I've personally witnessed, and I have an article here from my hometown we'll put on the screen for our viewers. This is from my very own Tulsa World, and it says new Tulsa weather records again. Now, this was from earlier this year where it talks about high temperatures. It says Tulsa's highest temperature skyrocketed to 112 degrees. Now, although to say that it is climate change and, yes, the planet is getting hotter, we have another article right here. This was from 2011. So we go from 2012 where we had the highest high of 112 degrees. But in 2011 in my hometown, we had the highest snowfall, which was 26.1 inches. And the previous record was 25.6 inches back in 1923. So we're saying that you can't have one and ignore the other. They're saying that the planet's getting warmer, it's getting hotter, but they're completely ignoring the other side when we see, yes, it may have peak periods of heat, but we also have peak periods of cold, because it doesn't really snow that much in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah, what they will say now, and Al Gore has said this, the New York Times has gone, whenever we have a blizzard record cold, they now say that's consistent with global warming. That's extreme weather. In fact, what they've done is they're trying to declare 2012 a year of extreme weather. Why? Because we had a lot of mild days in March. A lot of people went out and said, hey, this is great weather. Well, guess what? That's now, according to the United States government, extreme weather that's going to be classified as dangerous extreme weather. It's silly. In terms of the heat wave, yeah, we had a hot summer in parts of the United States, the continental United States, and at least most of the continental United States. And the United States makes up about 2% or less than 2% of the Earth's surface. At the same time, we were having this heat wave. This is global warming. This is an indication of global warming. South Africa was having record cold. Other parts of the globe and Australia were having a record cold or really cold winter, breaking records, and in South America. So the bottom line is you can't look at 2% of the globe or less, make extrapolations, try to say it fits your theory. The problem we have now is they literally have studies predicting more snow in the winter, predicting less snow in the winter, predicting more drought, predicting more floods, predicting less drought. So no matter what the weather event is, they can claim, hey, we predicted it. That's called unfalsifiable. You can't falsify the science because they're covered no matter what they do. That's why I call it climate astrology, or we call it tabloid climatology. This is like a fortune teller where they give out all these different scenarios, and a stopped clock is right twice a day. So what's happened here is no matter the weather event, they claim it's consistent. When you say global warming will cause many bad things, and then guess what? many bad things happen. Well, exactly. Many bad things happen no matter what. But now it fits this theory. That's not science. That's bias, confirmation bias. And it's just, it's gotten to the point where it's silly. You hate to even have to argue, but people are actually gullible. And there's true believers out there that actually believe. They'll say things like, this isn't the climate I grew up with. Well, you know what? The climate's always changing. If you lived in the Arctic, it was as warm or warmer in the 1930s and 40s as it is now. Then they went through a 40-year cooling period. Then they warmed again. What's your point? The climate never stays the same. So the idiotic statements like, I've never seen weather like this. Well, it's like, well, right. How old are you given the Earth's history? It's just silliness. But this is their new argument because they've lost the argument on CO2 being the dominant driver of man-made global warming. They've lost the argument on sea level. They've lost the argument on a whole host. In fact, on my Climate Depot, my website, I have a report on the A to Z, how their predictions are failing. The real-world data is defying the man-made global warming movement.
Now, as far as you're being dubbed the godfather of climate change skeptics, how did that come about, and how do you take that? Do you take that personally? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm Italian, so they like to use those kind of ethnic stereotypes. But the bottom line is I take it as a backhanded compliment. This was a smear piece on me in a German magazine called Die Zeit, or Die Zeit, or however you say it, D-I-E-Z-I-D-E-I-T. My German's not very good. And they did a butcher job. I mean, they mixed up the timeline of when I worked in the Senate Environmental Committee. They had me bringing in Michael Crichton before I even started in the committee. They made up stuff about where I live, about, even down to the garden in my backyard. They tried to get it very personal, came up with just absurd stuff. So I'm having fun with this. These reporters from Germany did a preconceived piece. They smeared all skeptics by calling us deniers. And they're basically trying to say that we're lavishly funded, which is the biggest joke you could ever imagine when you consider the United Nations, foundations, the U.S. taxpayer dollars, international world governments, all going to support man-made global warming, not because it's science, but because it gives politicians more control, more levers of regulation. It gives the international bean counters a chance to control our lives. That's what they're after. That's what this movement is about. It's a political movement, not scientific. So this German magazine, I take it as a compliment, called me the godfather of climate denial, in their words, which conjures up, of course, Holocaust denial. They like to do that to try to smear us.
Right.
Is backfiring on them, and we're having a lot of fun with it.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad you didn't take it personal. Now, talking about your funding, they say that you're overfunded and you got all this money rolling in. How much money does Al Gore stand to make if these things go through, these carbon taxes?
Well, here's the interesting thing. Al Gore, back in 2007-8, before Obama was elected, would go around and say, now, these are the companies. He'd do his PowerPoint. These are the companies I would invest in, that I am investing in, all these renewable energy companies and electric car companies. Guess what happens? Obama wins in 2008. Secretary Chu comes in, and guess what? I think it's about $2.5 billion of federal taxpayer stimulus dollars went to companies that Al Gore touted and was involved in and had connections with or was on the board with. Al Gore went from less than $2 million net worth when he left the vice presidency to now more than $100 million. He's called the world's first carbon billionaire. He's on his way to getting there. So that is one angle. One United States Department of Agricultural farm grant to study how farm odors contribute to global warming of $20 million exceeded all the money that ExxonMobil was ever accused of giving to global warming skeptics, something like $16 or $18 million. And so what has happened here, Al Gore alone pledged to spend $300 million promoting man-made climate fears. The U.S. government has spent tens of billions of dollars in research. And more than that, when you look at all the stimulus and all the money they put into things like Solyndra and electric car companies and wind, all these companies that have gone belly up, all to save us from global warming, allegedly save us.
Exactly. We have an article right here. This is from the Daily Mail. Climate change deniers will be despised just like racists of the day. I'm sure you heard this, Al Gore saying that climate deniers are the new racists, which I don't know how he can claim such thing. I don't think anybody's ever been lynched for, denying a climate change or whatever else. We also have another one here from Al Gore. Al Gore's profanity-filled rant against climate change naysayers. It seems like he's kind of cracking up over this.
He is. Now, here's what's going on with Al Gore. This is an amazing transformation. He went, of course, from losing to the presidency to a relative obscurity, to then rising again with his film, wins the Oscar, wins the Nobel, and then he thinks he's riding high, thinks they're going to have a climate bill, thinks they're going to have a UN treaty, and then everything collapses under the weight of the ClimateGate scandal, the science being exposed back in 2009, 2010, and then President Obama never showed that much interest in UN treaties and never even pushed the climate bill. So a lot of the environmentalists are mad at him for not pushing more. But Al Gore now is reduced to doing internet telethons claiming every weather event is linked to man-made global warming. And the last one he did just a few weeks ago didn't even garner any media coverage in the usual suspects of the media. Al Gore is being ignored by the liberal mainstream media now, and that's got to be devastating to him. He's still got a boatload of money, and he's still and I don't argue that Al Gore is necessarily motivated by money. He is a true believer. He's an ideologue. This is what he does, and I think he's also a very shrewd businessman, and he knows how to channel billions of dollars into his companies, and he's obviously very wealthy. But in terms of his political impact, he is falling off the map in terms of political politics.
Now, as far as those who may be on the fence, do they hear what you say, they hear what Al Gore says? What would you say to somebody who's, straddling the fence trying to find the right and true information?
Well, I would say go to climatedepot.com. That's my website. I was in the former staff of the U.S. Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, and I was author of The Thousand Scientists' Dissent. We started the first counter-assault. I worked with Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma against Al Gore back in 2007. We started collecting the names of skeptical scientists from around the world. I mean, we had people like Al Gore, the head of the United Nations climate, telling people there were only a dozen skeptical scientists in the world. There were as many as there were people who believed the Earth was flat. So that enraged all these scientists. They came out and they started contacting the United States Senate, and we put this report together, and we came back. So what I would argue is go to Climate Depot, read the material. I link to both sides. I have Al Gore articles. I have articles from global warmists like Think Progress and Real Climate. You can read both sides. But start looking at the data, I would tell you, and even the government sources that are so bought and paid for by this. We have NASA run by James Hansen, a global warming scientist who's been arrested two or three times protesting energy pipelines. He's actually been handcuffed by police and hauled off. This is how strongly he believes. James Hansen endorsed a book calling for the deindustrialization of the United States, a book that called for raising United States cities and leveling dams. This is our lead scientist at global warming and NASA that keeps our temperature data. So much for disinterested scientists. Once you scratch the surface of this, you will be shocked and amazed at how science has virtually nothing to do with this entire movement.
Exactly. Closing comments, Mark Moreno.
Well, right now, the United Nations is meeting in the Middle East in Qatar. I always say Qatar. I guess it's now called Qatar. And they are going to be trying to resurrect, now that Obama's won re-election, resurrect a global treaty and a global carbon tax. The real threat Americans face, and they won't even see it coming. We were able to stop Congress from passing a ridiculous climate bill, but right now, Obama's EPA is poised to start regulating everything that Congress refused to do. They are going to regulate behind the scenes an unelected bureaucracy, start regulating carbon. We inhale oxygen, we exhale carbon dioxide, and what's going to happen is the EPA, behind the scenes, is going to be shutting down coal plants, putting on fines, regulations.
Oh, that's not behind the scenes.
Well, what I'm saying is it's not going to be a vote of Congress. People aren't going to be aware of it initially. It's going to start happening. We're going to look at, as President Obama openly said, your electricity bills will necessarily skyrocket. That's one of the promises he will keep. And this is something we have a problem because we have a piss poor, weak Republican leadership, both in the Senate and the House right now. I don't see them even capable, let alone have the will, of fighting President Obama on this.
Exactly. Well, there he is, the godfather of climate change skeptics, Mark Moreno. Definitely appreciate your time today, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
All right. Thanks. All right. And that's it for this edition of the InfoWars Nightly News. Definitely want to thank Mark Moreno and also John McAfee. That's something I was definitely surprised to see. But anyway, if you like guests like Mark, take a look at PrisonPlanet.tv. There's a lot of great stuff on there. Always a 15-day free trial. Check it out. Share it with your friends, family, and loved ones. Holiday time is a great time. You can get people there, sit them down, just say, just watch 15 minutes of this movie, The Obama Deception, or Endgame, or whatever the case may be. It's a great way to wake people up. And also check out Planet InfoWars. There's plenty of good stuff on there. You can connect with other patriots, much like yourself. Many sections, you can ask Alex questions. So definitely be aware of that. And don't forget, right now we are running the ProPure 15% off. So if you want to get your ProPure, a lot of people had a demand for it. The special ends December 10th. A lot of people missed out last time, so don't miss out this time. Get your ProPure now, 15% off. We even got them here at the office. Melissa just bought one. I'll get one myself, so definitely make sure that you don't miss out. I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News, and we'll see you next time.